Well, everybody, welcome to episode 268 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk about the baseball and softball postseasons with multiple guests today. Leading off is the leadoff hitter for the Ankeny Centennial softball team. The senior catcher and third baseman helped the Jaguars to a 29-10 record this season. She batted .397 with one homer and 27 RBIs, and she is currently tied for 13th in the entire state with 18 doubles. She is Addie Starr. Addie, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, your team ended the season on Tuesday with a 3-0 loss to Waukee in a regional final. I know that's not the way you wanted to end your high school career, but you know, you've got to give Waukee credit. They came ready to play, didn't they?
They definitely did. They had a lot of energy, and we just went up to the same level that they were.
Well, you had a leadoff double in the bottom of the first inning, but that was your team's only extra base hit of the night. And after a bunt single by Lauren Sandholm in the second, Waukee pitcher Lily Struck did not allow another hit the rest of the way. It was only the third time this season that you guys were held scoreless. Mm-hmm. You know, what was making her so effective? Because you guys had roughed her up for 9 runs in just 2 innings about a month ago.
We saw her probably not on her best day a couple weeks ago when we played them the first time, but she came ready and she threw a rise ball, which we hadn't really seen, and she mixed a lot of off-speed that we weren't ready for.
Well, Waukee scored all 3 of its runs on a pair of home runs, and that's a team that entered the game with just 12 homers on the season. You know, it's probably not a team that you're too worried about hitting the ball out of the park, were you?
I know Lauren's approach was to more move the ball up and make them stay on their toes and hit the ball in the air, either to fly out or hit the ball on the ground. We were not ready for them to hit home runs, no.
Were you planning to go to any of the games at the state tournament or watch them online?
I unfortunately will now be out of town.
Oh, okay.
But I will definitely be watching them online and cheering on at least my Southside friends and
sure,
a bunch of other people that I know that are going to be there.
Well, yeah, of course, Ankeny is one of the teams from the CIML conference that did make it to the Class 5A tournament. The Hawkettes will play Waukee Northwest in the quarterfinals on Monday, and the winner of that game could face number one Valley in the semifinals on Wednesday. Now, the Tigers tied your team for the conference title, and they've really been on a roll. They're currently riding a 23-game winning streak. You know, do you think they're the team to beat right now?
It all just depends. A lot of their really good matchups, which were a really good matchup for Valley. We ended up beating them. Johnston's really not a great matchup for us, and it just depends who ends up playing who.
Well, Addie, you certainly had a great career. You played on 3 teams that made it to state. You were named to the all-tournament team as a freshman after you placed second. And, of course, last year your team rolled to the Class 5A championship. I know you're going to continue your career at Central College in the fall, but what are you going to miss the most about playing softball at Centennial?
The culture and the team that we've built and the family that we've all built together and playing with all my friends and family.
Well, you were selected to play in the Senior All-Star Classic on July 27th at Waukee, so that'll give you one more chance to play with and against some of the girls you've gotten to know around from the CIML, including Abby Rusher of Ankeny. You know, are you looking forward to playing in that event?
I'm really excited. Jaden Huseman, who is another incoming freshman at Central, I'll be playing against her as well. I'm really, really excited to do that.
So when do you head off to Central?
August 16th, we move in, and I'm just super excited and can't wait to actually get there and be able to be a part of the team. And yeah,
it'll be here before you know it.
Yeah.
Well, you told me that you're going to Central to play as a third baseman. You're moving away from the catcher spot because they have Riley Duncan playing that position, and Coach Wears is also bringing in 2 freshman catchers. So will you miss playing catcher at all?
I'll definitely miss it, but I won't miss the knee pain or anything like that. But I definitely will miss, especially the bonds you built with the pitchers. I'll miss that aspect.
Yeah, you do get a few bumps and bruises playing that position,
yes,
don't you? Well, do you feel like you have a good chance to step in and contribute right away?
Whatever Coach Ware sees me doing, I'm ready to do. If he sees me going in right away, I'm definitely ready to do that, but I'm willing to work hard to get there.
Well, of course, your mother, Missy, was a star at Central many years ago, and she also played for Coach Ware's. Now, I know he's been coaching there a long time. Do you know if he's coached any other mother-daughter combinations during his career?
I know, as I said earlier, my friend Jaden, her mom was a grad assistant. I don't know if she played under Coach Ware's, but she was a grad assistant with Coach Ware's. And her older sister played for Coach Ware's. Not anybody else off the top of my head that I can explicitly think of, but yeah.
He's coached a lot of girls over his career.
Yes, so. He has.
Well, what are you planning to study there?
I'm planning to study business management with a focus in marketing, and as well as that, I'm going to get my coaching endorsement while I'm there.
So you want to be a future softball coach, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, hey, Addie, thanks a lot for coming in today. It's been fun to follow you throughout your career, and good luck at Central.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, well, my next guest just completed his first season as the head coach of the Ankeny Christian Academy baseball team, and he guided the Eagles to an 18-9 record and their first trip to a Class 1A sub-state final. His team ended the season on Tuesday with a 1-0 loss to 5th-ranked Linville Sully in 9 innings at Pella. He is Ryan Johnson. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I appreciate it, Dan. Thank you.
Hey, you bet. Well, it must have been a heck of a game there the other night. I was covering softball here in Ankeny, but we had our new reporter, Stephen McDaniel, there, and he told me it was one of the best defensively played games that he's ever seen. Yeah, I know the outcome wasn't what you guys wanted, but you have to be awfully proud of this team.
Yeah, it was a great season. The ending, it was a great game. Didn't end quite how we wanted it to, but couldn't ask more from the guys, the way they played. You know, a great Linville Sully team. They got us earlier in the year, 9-0. We felt good going into the game. Had a good game plan. Had Eli full 110 pitches. We needed almost all of those. But defensively, the guys really stepped up in the postseason. I was looking at the stats. We only made 2 errors in 4 games in the postseason, including no errors in the last 2 games. So great team effort.
Well, you mentioned that earlier loss to Linville Sully. And, you know, this is a team that had only lost 3 games all year. So where did that confidence come from? You just have that much faith in your guys?
Yeah. We've seen the growth throughout the year. We knew going in that, you know, our pitching and defense would be pretty good. Starting with Eli and Tyler on the mound. Defensively, we've got guys, 7 seniors that started, a lot of experience there. So offensively is really where we put a lot of focus, and you could just see the growth throughout the year. We felt like, you know, we could put up a few runs. If we could put up a few runs, we felt pretty good going to that game.
Well, yeah, you guys out hit the Hawks 6-3 as Eli, Landon Nearing, and Landon Curtis each went 2-for-4 in the game. And Curtis had the team's only extra base hit with a double. Lucas Erickson also drew a pair of walks. So you guys, you know, certainly had some base runners. But I know Curtis was tagged out at home on a grounder by Dylan Quick in the second inning. And you guys left a couple of runners on base there at second, third, in both the third and eighth innings. You know, you just couldn't get that one key hit that you needed, could you?
We couldn't. Yeah. The Landon Curtis throwing out the play. It was a bang bang play there. Second and third, we had the middle of our order coming up. We felt like, you know, we could push a couple runs there. It just didn't happen that night. And that's the way baseball is. Sometimes you get those opportunities. Sometimes you take advantage. Sometimes you don't. Unfortunately, we didn't there.
Well, the Linville Sully reliever Carson Mastin allowed just 2 hits and had 12 strikeouts over the last 5 innings. You know, so he was able to work his way out of that jam in the 8th. So was he throwing some heat or something to get all those strikeouts?
He was, he was dealing that night. He had a good breaking ball also. It kept us off balance. He's a good pitcher. Like I said, we got in the 8th. I thought we had a chance there. We didn't take advantage, but he was certainly on that night.
Well, your pitcher Eli also had a great night on the mound. He allowed just the 1 run on 3 hits, and he had 10 strikeouts over 8 2/3 innings. You know, I know he's pitched a lot of great games in his career, but, you know, considering the stakes and the level of competition, do you think that's the best that you've seen him throw?
Yeah, I do. We couldn't ask anything more of Eli that night. He 8 2/3, just over 100 pitches. He couldn't hardly be more efficient than that. Yeah, just the 1 hit and the 1 walk through 8 innings, almost facing the minimum there. Even the 1 hit, Tyler threw out at second trying to steal. So, he threw against Ankeny, kept them off balance. That was really where you started seeing him taking a step forward. And this was just the culmination, just a great night of pitching.
Well, then, of course, the game did end in the 9th. Davis Utech hit a leadoff double for the Hawks, and then with 2 outs, Mastin singled to center to end the game. Now, it looked like Eli might be able to, get his way out of that jam. And like you mentioned, I see where he threw 101 pitches. So were you starting to think about, your pitching plan going to the next inning if you guys would have been able to extend the game then?
Absolutely, yeah. We would have had Tyler warming up, ready to go, and just keep this going as long as we could. But, You know, even that inning, leadoff double, we got to the point where it was, got to two outs, they hadn't scored, and, 1-2 pitch on that last one, and we were that close. So, again, just a great pitching night.
Well, I was looking at the Class 1A pairings for the state tournament in Carroll. I see Linville Sully will play Sigourney in the quarterfinals and could meet the top-ranked team Akron Westfeld in the semifinals. Perennial Power Newman Catholic is among the teams on the lower side of the bracket. You know, do you think Akron Westfeld is the team to beat, or do you feel like it's a pretty wide open tournament?
I would say, from what I know, it sounds like it's a pretty wide open tournament. You know, seeing Linville twice, I wouldn't put anything past them. Going a long ways with their pitching and defense and offensively. So I'd say it's pretty wide open.
Well, I know at the Class 4A tournament, the teams that make it to the final would have to play 3 games in 4 days, and that can really stretch your pitching staff pretty thin. Now, in Class 1A, the schedule isn't quite as condensed, as those teams in the final will play every other day, and so they'll play 3 games in 5 days. Now, maybe you hadn't looked this far ahead, but if you guys have been able to make it to the state tournament, had you thought about a pitching plan?
Yeah, I think, with the every other day, there would have been a possibility to have, Eli pitch that first game, Tyler to come back in the second game, and most likely have Eli available in that championship game. So, unfortunately, we couldn't take advantage of that plan, but, I think that would have worked out well.
Yeah, I'm sure you would like your chances against anybody, with those matchups. But well, you have to be really happy with how your first season as head coach went. I don't know if you came in and made a lot of changes or not, but, were the guys pretty receptive to hearing a new voice?
Yeah, I think so. I was the assistant coach for the 5 years previous to that, so I've known a lot of these guys for quite a while. The seniors I've coached since they've been in eighth grade. So Coach Duker, he really set a good base for us, and so we just wanted to continue that. We played a little bit different, maybe offensively, not quite as much bunting as we maybe have done in the past, for the most part, it was a pretty seamless transition.
Well, I think you're going to have to replace 9 seniors, and there's a lot of starters in that group. I'm not really sure that you can replace guys like Eli and Tyler Mahoney, who are so valuable for you. You got a big rebuilding job ahead of you, don't you?
Yeah. There's a lot of good young talent there, though. There's guys that were on varsity team this year. Maybe didn't get to play quite as much as they would like, because of all the senior talent that we have. But they get to see the seniors the way that they work, that they prepare, the off season. So I think that there's an opportunity there. There's a lot of playing time opportunity. We've encouraged them. They got to get in the weight room. They've got to get in the batting cage and put in the work in the off season.
Well, Coach, congratulations again on a great year, and thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, my next guest was a senior pitcher and catcher for the Eagles. He batted 519 with 2 homers, 9 doubles, and 14 RBIs. On the mound, he compiled a 7-3 record with a 1.60 ERA, and he ranks 4th in the entire state with 112 strikeouts. He is Eli Christensen. Eli, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on a great season, a great career, and a great game the other night as well. That was obviously a disappointing loss for you guys, but I know my reporter, Steven, told me that you were in pretty good spirits after the game. What was the mood of the team like on the way home? Were you guys able to look past the disappointment and be proud of everything that you were able to accomplish this year?
Yeah, I think so. At first, it took me – it was pretty hard on me. Like, right after that first that out happened, I even shed some tears. But it just took me a few minutes, and then I realized, it's just a game, and I think we all took it pretty well.
Well, you had pitched in that first meeting against Linville Sully and took the loss. You gave up 4 runs and 6 hits over the first 3 2/3 innings. Now, I don't know if you gave up either of the homers that they hit that day, but what adjustments did you make, if any, prior to the game on Tuesday? Did you change the way you approached the hitters at all?
A little bit. I think it helped just seeing him for the second time. We just kind of knew how to attack him with different pitches, and I don't know, that just really helped me. So,
well, I think in both of your previous postseason appearances, you told me that you really didn't have your best stuff, and you just kind of had to work your way through it. Did you feel like you had your best stuff on Tuesday?
Yeah, I think so. That the fastball was really popping. Worked in a lot of sliders, just kept them off balance, and it was just a lot of fun.
Well, obviously, you guys couldn't afford to give up 9 runs to them again and expect to win. I'm sure you felt like, if you could shut them down and give your offense a chance, then maybe you guys could pull off the upset. Did you expect the game to be such a pitcher's duel, though?
Yeah, I think so. I felt like 2 to 3 runs, if I can hold them under that, that would be really good, and I did that. And we had plenty of chances to score, just couldn't quite get it done.
Well, you guys had seen both of those Linville Soli pitchers earlier when you had two of the team's three hits in that first game. Did you guys make some adjustments at the plate as well before this game?
Yeah, it was good seeing them again. We were expecting a lot of fastballs, and then just being able to fight off that curveball they both had. And I thought we did okay, but it just wasn't our day, I guess, at the plate.
Well, Eli, you've been a five-year starter for this program, and you've helped the Eagles to exactly 100 wins during that stretch. You know, you have to feel really good about where you and the other seniors have left this program going forward.
Yeah, definitely. We've all pretty much been playing since our eighth grade year, and it's we started with a good foundation, but I definitely think we've left it off better. So,
well, I know you're headed to DMAC Boone to play for them in the fall, but you know, what are you going to miss the most about playing for ACA? Is it just the relationships with your teammates?
Yeah, I definitely have to say just the friends we had. We had such a tight-knit group. You know, with a smaller school like that, you kind of know everybody there, and it's just fun to just play a sport that we all love with them.
Well, I know you told me earlier that you were recruited to DMAC as a pitcher, but that you would also be given the opportunity to hit. You know, do you think you have a chance to step in and contribute right away?
Yeah, definitely. They had a great last season. They made a run to the World Series, but they lost a lot of sophomores, so I think there definitely should be a spot for me.
Do you think it'll be a big adjustment for you to play on that level?
Yeah, I think so. I do think it's a really good fit for me, though, size-wise and just the people there. I'm just really excited to get going.
Well, before I let you go, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the MLB draft that concluded earlier this week. You know, I'm sure you paid attention to it with interest because one of your former teammates in youth baseball, Joey Oakey, was selected by the Guardians with the 84th overall pick in the third round. Now, he had been projected as the number 46 prospect prior to the draft. Were you surprised that he didn't get picked in that first night?
Yeah, a little bit. I stayed up and watched the whole thing. Just to see. I was a little surprised, but I heard it's a great fit for Joey with the Guardians. So I'm super proud of him and super happy for him. I bet he's going to do a great job.
Yeah, it sounds like it worked out for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you used to play together in the Blackhawks is what I hear.
Yeah. I think we played both basketball and baseball together for, I bet, like 8 to 9 years, I think. His dad was the coach for both.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, it was just so many great memories with them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's really cool to see us all kind of grow up and still play. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's a great kid. Well, I'm sure you got some big plans for the future as well. Do you feel like, you know, if you have 2 good years at DMAC, you could move on to, like, maybe a Division I level?
Yeah, that's the plan. At DMAC, it's cool how they can do the 2-year transfer thing pretty easily. And they do a great job there of just helping you out and just getting you that next level. So, yeah, I'm really excited. Yeah.
All right, Eli. Well, like I said, you had a great career. Congratulations on that. And thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. MJ Properties is a sponsor of the podcast as well, and MJ Properties is also the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic, and we really appreciate their support. All right, well, my next guest is the head coach of the 9th-ranked Ankeny softball team, and he has guided the Hawkettes to a 21-20 record. On Tuesday, his team posted a 6-2 victory over number 10 Southeast Polk to advance to the state tournament for the second year in a row. He is Dave Bingham. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. You always start with the rankings. We're number one, Dan. I think we're number one. We're 21-20. We're number one.
Well, you're not seeded 9th, so we'll talk about the seeding
that's here crazy.
In a little bit. But, well, congratulations on the win the other night. I know you told me afterwards that there was so much pressure on that game in order to get to state. You know, were you more excited or relieved after the game?
Wow, that's interesting. I don't think I was relieved. I don't think I was excited either. Doing it this long, you watch the kids. And then I saw, you know, where Lensmeyer put the ball, and I went and got the ball. So I'm not relieved at all. I think, you know, there's a bigger goal in mind. And so I expected us to win. I mean, I had the t-shirt order ready to go, and that's just the way I feel. And so I think we're going to win the next game. And then whoever we play after that, I think we're going to win the next game. So I'm not going to be relieved at all. That doesn't factor into it. I'll be sad when these girls are gone, whether we win or lose. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm proud of them, though.
Yeah. Well, your team had split a doubleheader with Southeast Polk earlier this season, but it seemed like you guys were confident going into the game. I mean, you just talked about how you expected to win.
Yeah.
You know, how big of a factor do you think, you know, playing the game on your home field was?
I don't know. I think we'd have played well over there. They have 3 or 4 really kids that we really had to take care of, really talented offensively. And, you know, when you look at some of the lineups we go against, you know, you got to really think about what you're doing with Polk. So they were going to be – I don't think – look at my team, looking at my players, I don't think where we play factors into it. I think the emotion of having your crowd there and that feeling gives you a little bit of an edge. So – you know, Lindsay, we were going to talk to her a little bit. She was sick. I mean, like, I don't know. It wasn't COVID, but she was really grossly sick. And so a lot of our team was, and we played over there, and it was, a, you know, 105 index, heat index. Not an excuse, but we did have – so we played so well in that first game. I was confident, but they seriously have gotten better, and they're kind of in the same position we were. Let's get ready for the postseason. They got it. They could have folded the tents in their first game. They were down and they were out, but they're just a feisty team. So, and that's every team we're going to play. So, it was a tough matchup.
Well, Abby Rusher tossed a six hitter the other night. And you told me that she didn't have her best stuff, but she was good enough. And your team had some timely hits along the way, including a two-run homer by Kensington Erringdale in the fourth inning, and that extended the lead to 4-1. Morgan Fisher went 2-for-3, and she scored a pair of runs. And you mentioned the young lady sitting here with us tonight, Aubrey Lensmeyer. She went 2-for-3 and had an RBI. So it was just a good all-around team win, wasn't it?
It was, and just to continue to threaten every inning. You know, I really think that, you know, Aubrey's, you know, she's really made an adjustment. I've told her last 15 games she might be leading the country in hitting. I think I said North America this morning, but she's just made an adjustment. And then that two-strike, two-out hit just kind of sealed the deal. Like, yeah, it's not going to happen today. And it was a really good approach. So overall, I was thrilled with our execution. And let's go back to, you know, Abby. I rewatched the film, and she does some things that you can't explain on film. And sometimes it's Aubrey too. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was a great pitch, and they hit that pitch, you know. And then they'll have this other pitch that comes back. I'm like, wow, what was the difference there? And so she pitched a lot better than I even imagined once I went back and watched the film because of some of the movement that she had. And we probably overthink things sometimes, but I think both of these kids right now, we're challenging them to get to a high level. So I don't think we've had good pitching in this program before since I've been here. Don't get me wrong. We've just, with what we had with Winfrey and these two last year, I mean, we've never been this set. So very confident with these young ladies. And I told her, you got to want to pitch. Nothing against Abby. You got to expect to pitch, and you got to be ready to go. And Abby knows that, and Abby doesn't want her to pitch, and she doesn't want, you know, she doesn't want Abby to go out, but she's going to be ready,
right,
if she can. The senior's going to lead us, and then she'll come in and clean it up.
Well, your team easily could have been the number 7 or 8 seed after the state tournament, but, you know, due to a few upsets the other night, you guys are going in as the number 5 seed. You still have a tough first-round matchup, though. You're going to play number 4 Waukee Northwest in the quarterfinals on Monday at 10:30. Now, your team split a doubleheader with the Wolves on June 3rd. You posted a 2-1 win in 10 innings, and then Northwest rallied for a 10-6 victory in the nightcap. But both of those games really could have gone either way, couldn't they?
Yeah, they were fun. It's weird when you play a doubleheader against a CIML team and the first game goes 5 hours or whatever. I mean, it was just like, is this thing gonna end? And it's weird how certain matchups and certain kids play well against certain teams. Avery Nelson is one of our little, you know, younger kids and pretty fiery little thing, and for some reason she just hits the ball against Waukee Northwest. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it worked out for us that she came up in the right time and got us the walk off there. But that was early on in the season. A lot of things have changed, but you know, you can go back and learn a lot from that night. So we're evenly matched. We're evenly matched with every CIML team. I think they would all agree. We've had nights where, you know, we got swept or we swept somebody, but the CIML showed up. You look at the bottom of that bracket, it's just, yeah, it's a little bit shocking, but you know, the CIML teams are there, and we got on the, I would say, the tough side of the bracket according to some of the rankings. But I don't think that matters right now.
Right. Well, Abby pitched a phenomenal game in that first one against the Northwest after she gave up a leadoff homer to Sophia Schlater to begin the game. She then shut them out the rest of the way. She tossed a four-hitter with 5 strikeouts. You know, I don't want you to give away your plans, but it seems like she's a pretty good matchup for them.
She is. We would take 21 outs, however we can get them. I'd take 20 strikeouts, you know, something like that. Make it a lot easier on us. We could breathe a little bit. But she, you know, shoot, I think she's really set the tone for, you know, Aubrey when she got in and when they started coming in the program together. Just her demeanor, she, not much gets to her. She's gonna go to work, and even in times of trouble, the two gals have great demeanor. I'm really proud of them for that, and that's the thing that I look for the most. But we'll get the gun out tomorrow, see how fast you guys are throwing, and we're gonna try to get it up to 70, you know. we're not going to make it, but we're going to try to get it there. So,
well, regardless of who pitches, you're certainly going to have to be careful with Schlader, who is currently tied for the state lead in home runs with 18. You know, do you think she's the most impactful eighth grader the state has seen since Kendall Lindemann? I certainly can't think of one.
Yeah, and Kendu, you know, she that year that we got the state championship with her, you know, we had something happen. She got a start and got a couple of hits and showed right away against Valley that she could play. And the really neat thing about that in our program, too, is that Allie and, you know, Erica Kerrigan and those kids were like, she can play, coach. And that was a hard thing for Farmer to maybe, like, we talked about it. And then Amy's like, well, what if she's, like, hitting 700 JV? I'm like, yeah, if she is, we got to give her an opportunity. And so she didn't get in right away, though. So she only had, like, 11 home runs, I think, her first year, 24 that second year. But she, if you look back on it, Dan, she wasn't very big, though. This girl, I think, has already, you know, reached her physical potential. And she's right there. I don't know, like, the level of pitching or what she's seen, but yeah, impressive. But there's no question, if you do your homework and scout it out, that's what happens. Some of these kids come in, they're big hopes, and then you get in the CIML the next year and it's not as, all of a sudden it's like, well, what happened, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, we'll go after her. We're not going to walk her. I mean, she's going to have to hit our pitch, but there's no way and on this planet, as long as I'm coaching, that we will, intentionally walk a kid to start a game. So we'll go after her.
Well, she's also a Northwest's top pitcher. She tossed a four-hitter, and she had 11 strikeouts in that pitcher's duel against Abby. And she's coming off a three-hitter with 12 strikeouts and a 4-0 win over Lincoln in the regional final. She's now 19-5 with a 0.81 ERA. And I haven't had a chance to see her either hit or pitch. Is she more of a power pitcher then?
Yeah, she throws really hard. She throws up and she throws curve. Yeah. Change it, still we got to sit on that too, but it's not something that we'll have to worry about too much. We will be ready. We have a good plan. I think everybody that coaches knows what the plan is, so there's nothing new there, but we have got a gritty little bunch, and we've been putting in some extra hours, and nobody's going to outwork us right now. So I think we're excited. I love the draw. I think it was fantastic. I mean, they swept us 2 years ago. We swept them last year, and then we ended up with them in the consolation game, which was fun. But I think we're ready.
Well, there are five teams from your conference that are in the Class 5A field, and two of them are teams that people probably, didn't think would be there. Urbandale upset Johnston in a regional final, and of course, Waukee did likewise with Ankeny Centennial. Do you think that just shows how strong and deep this league is?
Well, it's brutal to play in the league and then have to play somebody in postseason to get to the tournament. I mean, it's just brutal. You play, and that's one of the things, like, in our league meeting is, it's fun to play double headers, but why do you want to play somebody four times, five times, six times if you play them in a tournament? So it's brutal, and it's hard, and it's mentally and physically draining, on the kids to have to play these teams over and over. But the reality is, once you get to the tournament, you have to expect it. Like, you're going to play those teams. So you play somebody in the regular season, and you've swept them. Pack a lunch when you got to play them in the postseason. It may have been easier for us to start with Valley, since they swept us, but since we split with Northwest. But it is difficult now to beat somebody if you swept them in the regular season and get them that third time. It's just, there's too much pride in these communities.
Well, no team from your conference has been hotter than number one Valley. The Tigers got on a roll in the second half of the season. They ended up tying Centennial for the league title, and they've now won 23 consecutive games going into the state tournament, which you mentioned the schedule. With the schedule, that's pretty impressive. They'll play Cedar Rapids Prairie in the quarterfinals, and the winner of that game would then play the winner of your game in Wednesday's semifinals. Do you think with the record that they've put up that they're the team to beat right now?
Oh, yeah. You got to tell Tom he's the team to beat. Yeah, it's all on him right now. Yeah.
That pressure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a good friend of mine. But I think Centennial won the league. I mean, they swept them. I know that they don't have that tiebreaker, but yeah. I think Centennial, deserves, Brett Delaney and their kids deserve the title. I mean, if you're going to do a podcast and talk about the team to beat, quietly, I don't really know a lot about Pleasant Valley and Muscatine. I've seen them. I haven't seen them live. But right now, let's put all the pressure on Tom Bakey, my main man there, and say, absolutely, Valley's the team to beat. They're unbeatable. I don't think anybody can beat them, right? Yeah, that's what
we're going to
say.
That's right, yeah. We mentioned Pleasant Valley, the number two team. Muscatine is number three, and they'll be in the bottom half of the bracket. Pleasant Valley gets Waukee. Muscatine gets Urbandale. Now, Muscatine was the team that defeated you in the quarterfinals last year, and the Muskies went on to lose to Pleasant Valley in the semifinals. So we could have a rematch of that game on Wednesday. You know, so do you think maybe Pleasant Valley has the edge to come out of that side?
Yeah, I don't know. Right now, you have to look at Waukee as a serious issue if you're playing Waukee right now. They're two high-energy kids, Dan, and top of the order. If you throw that kid a strike, she's going to get a hit. So your best plan is to not throw her a pitch in the zone, right? And she might swing at it. And their catcher's a little fire plug, too, and those two kids made a big difference. This is a time of the year where kids like Aubrey, these kids that are really into the game, know the game, and have high energy, you know, can change a game. So I don't know. I wouldn't even pick that side of the bracket yet. I'd have to wait and see, but I on film, Muscatine just does so many things well, and that's why Pleasant Valley and Muscatine keep showing up. I mean, they do, they're really well coached and all that, and Pleasant Valley has a brand new coach and they're doing some things differently, but Muscatine's the same Muscatine. They did not make a mistake against us, maybe one or two base running mistakes, but it's gonna be interesting to figure that out. But I wouldn't be shocked to see the Warriors like sneak a game or maybe a game or two. They've got what it takes. They really do.
Yeah, it's really hard to know what to expect. You know, I thought last year after Muscatine beat you guys, maybe they'd beat Pleasant Valley. They did not. I thought maybe Pleasant Valley would give Centennial a run for their money. They did not.
Yeah.
It's hard to predict these games.
Well, I like, you know, the thing that you see, Dan, and the first time Amy and I got up there in 11, then it was like, okay, we're back in 12, we're back 13. You know, the schools didn't split. You know, I don't know if we'd ever not went. You know, it just becomes a fiber. And so it doesn't really matter. And then you're all of a sudden, this kid didn't play last year. Well, she's better than the kid that was playing. And you don't know that until they're in the lineup and they're playing. We've got 21, 22, 23 kids on the roster. We got a kids yesterday. I mean, Kayla Fox, you know, Brett Bentz, and we had McKenna Byers, who doesn't even dress, hitting after practice, just hitting, and I'm like, these kids could play in this game and get a hit. So that's what they're doing right now. We talked about the bowl season type stuff, how it makes programs better. These kids, you know, I could put one of those kids in, they could go 3 for 3. I don't know, but I think Pleasant Valley has a mentality about them, and I think that's carried through the new coach, and Muscatine's always had it. He's just done a great job for 1,000 years. You know, I don't know how he's done it that long.
Well, it should be a fun week. I'm looking forward to it. You know, good luck up there, Coach. I'll see you up there.
Yeah. Do you have a pool? Do you have a bracket? Or
I don't yet. I'm not sure if I'll do one or not.
Well, we love you covering us, and we'll see you up there.
Appreciate it. Thanks. All right, well, my final guest tonight is a junior pitcher and outfielder for the Hawkettes. She has compiled a 7-9 record with a 3.62 ERA. And at the plate, she is batting .277 with a team-high 9 home runs and 28 RBIs. She is Aubrey Lensmeyer. Aubrey, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on making it back to state. You told me after your first regional game that you had complete confidence in your team going up against Southeast Polk or any other team in the state. You know, where did that confidence come from, considering you guys, you know, ended the regular season on a 6-game losing skid?
You know, for softball, it's anyone's game. You know, you just depends on the day who's playing best. And I think our team has all the potential in the world to do well. And we just got to play our game, play with confidence, and go dominate.
Well, I wasn't at your game because I was over at Centennial that night, but I saw my photographer's pictures that you caught the fly ball for the final out of the game. What was that moment like for you? That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that moment was awesome. Definitely one of the highlights of the season. You know, you never expect to make the last out, and it's always so nerve-wracking doing it because you just want to sell it, you know, put it away for your team, and it was so fun and exciting. And then seeing everyone cheer as you caught it and celebrating was awesome.
Well, I mentioned that you went 2 for 3 in the win, and you drove in a run, and you do lead the team now in both home runs and RBIs. Now, last season, you hit just 2 home runs. So where do you think your increased power has come from? Was it just a lot of hard work in the offseason?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely a lot more time in the weight room and just hitting a lot with my hitting coach and just putting in the work.
Well, now your team will face Waukee Northwest for the third time this season. You pitched in that second game against the Wolves last month, and you allowed 7 runs on 10 hits over 5 1/3 innings. Do you think you learned some things about their hitters, though, that will be helpful if you face them again?
Yeah, for sure, and especially going back and watching film and seeing where my little mistakes were, where they hit, and, you know, learning what they like, what they don't like, and, you know, just being able to come in after Abby and shutting them down.
Well, we talked about Sophia Schlater with Coach. She had 2 more home runs in that game. So she's obviously someone that you have to pitch around or be very careful to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I actually pitch with Sophia in my pitching classes with Mindy Burka, so I know her, and she's a good kid, hard worker, and it's super fun playing against her.
Well, I know the Wolves have 3 more players in their lineup with multiple home runs, including Kaylee Cords, who has 6 home runs and 40 RBIs. You know, so they have a pretty deep lineup even behind Sophia, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. They're a good team, good lineup. They'll be a fun game to play. It'll be a good game.
Well, you also pitched against Northwest in last year's consolation game at the state tournament. You came in on relief, and you pitched 5 1/3 innings and allowed 3 runs on 6 hits in a 6-4 loss. So what was your reaction when you found out that you'd be playing the Wolves again? Were you pretty excited?
I was excited. You know, we split earlier in the season, and I think it could be anyone's game. It's going to be a good game, and I'm always excited to play CIML teams and hopefully dominate.
Well, how surprised were you when you found out that your team would be the number 5 seed? What were you shocked that teams like Johnston and Ankeny Centennial got beat the other night?
I was definitely surprised, but again, any CIML team can put up a fight and win it, and you know, I love the Waukee girls. I have some future and past teammates on the team, and it was really exciting to see them win as well.
Well, even though you guys lost both your games at the state tournament last year, do you think the experience will be helpful for those of you who did play in those games?
I definitely think the experience will help a lot. You know, state is a big field. It's a big stage, and, you know, sometimes nerves can get to you, but I think with our experience and people being there, I think we'll be ready this time and ready to fight.
Well, I asked Coach this question, and I'll ask you too. You know, do you feel like Valley is the team to beat in the tournament based on their current winning streak?
I definitely think Valley is the team to beat. They're a good, solid team, good defense, great hitters, and, you know, they're on a hot streak right now, and they're definitely the team to beat.
Well, Aubrey, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you about your softball future. You committed last fall to play for South Dakota, Division I school. You know, you could have let the recruiting process play out a little longer, but you clearly saw something that you liked in the Coyotes. What did you like the most about the program?
Yeah, I love the coaches. You know, going into it, I'll know a few of the players, and I'm excited to play with them. And, you know, they had a great, safe school, and I really like their dorms. Their dorms are really nice. And, yeah, I just think it'll be a lot of fun with everyone.
What do you plan to study up there?
I'm thinking about nursing right now. So, yeah.
Yeah. My mom was a longtime nurse. So that's a good field to go into. So, well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it. And good luck up there at Fort Dodge. I'll see you up there.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the #1 Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Addie Starr from the Ankeny Centennial softball team. We had Ankeny Christian Academy baseball coach Ryan Johnson and senior pitcher Eli Christensen. And then we finished it out with the Ankeny softball duo of Coach Dave Bingham and junior pitcher and outfielder Aubrey Lensmeyer. Appreciate the time from all of those folks tonight. And I'm not sure what we'll do next week. It kind of depends on how the start of the softball tournament goes next week. But come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.